are listening to Law and Gospel Wednesday Bible Study on this September the 26th in the year of our Lord 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and this is now the fourth of our series of Bible studies for congregational members that are meeting in their churches at 9:30 a.m. every Wednesday. A lot of congregations may not have that many Bible studies, but we're only too happy to prepare one. At 9:30, you meet and listen through the computer, if you're far away from St. Louis, to Law and Gospel. And then the second half hour, where normally Bible studies go for about an hour, you can discuss what we had to say. Today's Bible study is from Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38, Mary and Martha. Let me ask this question. You have a choice. You can either go to church or you can prepare a meal. You can either go to church or you can go golfing. You can either go to church or have your children play in the baseball that occurs on Sunday morning. Which are you going to choose? A lot of people think that's what Mary and Martha is about. I kind of disagree. You do? You think sometimes it's more important to be golfing or cooking a meal or being with your kids at their sports? Well, let's talk about that. Mary and Martha begins with, and a lot of people miss this, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. Now, who is the they? This would have been Jesus with his disciples. In fact, in the previous chapter, he sent out 72 other individuals to do the work of mission. Now, we're not sure how many disciples Jesus had brought with him to Mary and Martha's house, but we're pretty well convinced he had brought at least the apostles. So, what's going to be happening? Remember, Jesus didn't have a house in which he lived in. So he went from place to place. And you can understand, therefore, that Martha was preparing a pretty big meal. Well, it goes on. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. So, you got the two women. Martha invites them into the house. She really appreciates Jesus. Mary is at his feet listening to his teaching. Now, when it says at the Lord's feet, we need to understand that in those days, people, the normal position for students learning, say from a rabbi, would be sitting at the Lord's feet. We would have a situation where we'd have a big table, maybe a rectangular table, and the head of the table would either be at the center of the long part of the table or at the end of one of the tables. That's how we would do it. So each culture has a little different way. But that's why when the woman comes in to wash Jesus' feet, you're wondering, how's that happening? Did she get under the table? Well, in those days, you would actually be leaning towards the table, lying down, eating, and your feet would be extended beyond the table. So there wouldn't be any necessity to go under a table or anything like that to wash feet. But sitting at someone's feet meant that you wanted to be a student of the teacher. So that's what Mary was doing. Now, the very next verse, verse 40, But Martha was distracted with much serving. And the word distracted is important here. Because on the one hand, I've been in homes where people are doing other things. For example, I may go see a shut-in. And I'm sitting in the front room with the shut-in, and maybe the mother or a sister of the shut-in is in the kitchen kind of cleaning up after a meal. And sure enough, you can tell that they are listening to the Bible study that I'm sharing with the shut-in. So they are not distracted from listening just because they're in another room near to the front room and maybe doing the dishes or whatever. But it's very clear that she was distracted, which gives the impression that, yes, she was preparing the meal, maybe more than for just Jesus, maybe for also all 12 disciples. And she is kind of frustrated, turning to Jesus and asking him that, you know, my sister has left me to serve alone. Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Now, see, this is really important because I don't believe that those people who were listening to my Bible study saying cleaning up the kitchen were anxious and troubled about that. They were very happy that I was there to not only give the shut-in the Lord's Supper, but also have a Bible study with them. They weren't anxious and troubled at all. But Jesus says, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen that good portion which will not be taken away from her. So the word portion is a kind of interesting word because you get portions to eat during a meal. And it appears that Mary is troubled about preparing the portions for Jesus and perhaps his disciples. And she's not that happy at all. So what are we going to do with this? Well, there's two ways to look at this. The one way is just to look at the words and say, that's the point of this story. That when you have a choice between hearing the word of God and doing something else, you should always choose to hear the word of God. Well, that's a real problem, that particular principle. And I'll tell you why. I was outside the studio reading, they have a kind of a window with a lot of KFUO memorabilia in it, namely various microphones that were used when the station began. It began in the 1920s. And at that point, they were having a number of hours, 100 hours a week, on the radio. Now, today we have even more. And today it's even worse from one point of view that the radio station you can listen to 24 hours a day, as are some people listening right now on the computer. And you can be in Asia. You can be in Florida. You can be in Russia. You can be in England. Right now you can hear KFUO, the Bible studies, the devotions, a chapel at, you know, 10 o'clock after my program. So what are you going to say to someone? Now, you have a choice. You can clean your house, turn on the vacuum so you can't hear anything, or you can listen to a Bible study. You see the problem? Is right now, it's not that just Jesus occasionally shows up at your house or occasionally you go to a worship service, say on Sundays, to hear the words of Jesus. You can hear about him 24 hours a day. So what are you going to say to somebody when they say, well, I need to go and play golf. Oh, really? While KFUO is on, you're going to be playing golf instead of listening to God's word? You see, this is a real problem if you look at Mary and Martha from that point of view. For example, I can understand somebody playing golf on Sunday mornings. There could be a number of reasons for that. It could be a tournament that your company has, and it just so happens to be also on Sunday morning. You could be a golfer in tournaments. Well, what do you see? On Sunday morning, all the Christians don't show up to play golf? Of course not. See, we have a freedom to be able to do things as we wish, as long as it does not cause us sin. It'd be one thing to say, well, I can find God on the golf course as easy as in a worship service. Oh, truly? I would not agree with that. When's the last time an owl forgave your sins? When's the last time a squirrel gave you the body and blood of Christ? No, that would be a bad motivation for playing golf on a Sunday morning. But there could be a number of reasons. Perhaps there are some guests from out of town. They're only there Saturday and Sunday, and Sunday morning is the day that they're able to play golf. I don't have a problem with somebody doing that. In fact, in my congregation, I had both medical individuals and police, and a number of them had to work on Sunday morning. Well, was that a sin? No, that was following their vocation. Now, some churches recognize that. My home church, St. Paul and De Pere, they have services on, I believe, Saturday, and four of them on Sunday. Other churches have them on Monday. Right now, I'm helping out two congregations where the services are on Wednesday because they can't find pastors to help them out on Sunday. It doesn't matter what day you worship. If you can have an opportunity to do so, that's wonderful. And God doesn't say the Sabbath has to be Saturday. Obviously, that was part of the ceremonial laws. Now the Sabbath is any day you're able to worship. I remember when we would go, there was a big camp out. It was called Point Pelee, southernmost part of Canada. And my parents would often rent a cabin for a week. So sometimes we were there for two Sundays. And what my father would do, we'd go down to the beach, and he would have a little worship service there. Maybe with reading something from the Bible, explaining a little bit, some prayers, maybe a hymn. So I can understand this. Why is Jesus kind of criticizing Martha then, if we have the options to be able to miss church for something else if it's a good reason? Well, we need to read the text more closely. We need to read the text from a law and gospel point of view. What does that mean? I can't remember any time Jesus criticizing someone without behind it the notion of idolatry. So if I criticize, let's say I have a professional golf player and he has to play in a tournament on Sunday morning, for me as a pastor to look at him and say, you know, that's a sin for you to play, he's not committing idolatry. He may be even making a point of coming to one of the other Sunday services or going to a church for another day. And it's just not wrong not to ever attend church that particular week. I mean, people do this all the time. They're sick. They may be in the hospital having surgery. Shut-ins can't get to church a lot of times. So, as I said to one shut-in recently, she was upset she couldn't come to church very often. I said, when you can't come to the church comes to you. If Jesus is criticizing someone, It's always because of idolatry. Idolatry? You mean worshiping some kind of an idol? No, what is idolatry? First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Anytime you have another god before you, that's a form of idolatry. In fact, I can't think of any commandment that you can break that doesn't break the first commandment. For example, you covet, and you may go so far to do things so what you're coveting you can get in a way that's really inappropriate. That is idolatry. You're making yourself God. So Adam and Eve, when they first sinned, the sin, somebody once said, wasn't the taking of the apple on the tree, it was the pear underneath. Now, let me say, we don't know if it was an apple or not. I think it was grape, but be that as it may, that's a different conversation. They were in rebellion against God. They listened to Satan. Oh, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will become like God. Oh, I want to become like God. How do we become like God? Every sin we do is forbidden by God, and therefore we're setting ourselves up higher than God. Jesus would not have, shall we say, criticized Martha, even if she was making a meal, if she hadn't committed idolatry. Well, where did she commit idolatry? Let's read the text more carefully. And you'll see it. It's even obvious from the English. This is verse 40 of Luke 10. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him, that's Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Now, I'm sure maybe the inflection on Martha's voice wasn't like I did it. She probably said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the way God would hear it is, Lord, I'm going to criticize you right now. You don't care. You don't care that my sister has left me to serve alone. And then a command to God, tell her then to help me. Boy, I remember when I was still living with my parents, I wanted to buy a motorcycle, and they wouldn't let me. Did I say to God, thanks a lot, God. Here I want something in order to get around easier rather than ride my bike to school all the time. Tell my parents to let me have a motorcycle. See, that would be a form of idolatry, because when we pray to God and ask him for something that he has not promised, we always add, if it be your will. Well, there's no if it be your will. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Jesus answers her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. What he's referring to is her attitude towards God. Jesus is God. And here she is blaming him for her problem. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now, it's very important to understand, what was a good portion that Mary has chosen? To stop from preparing the supper to listen to Jesus? No, I don't think that's the good portion he's talking about. The good portion that she was doing was listening to Jesus. She sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Martha was distracted with much serving. She had a lot of people to serve to prepare for. And so she gets mad at God. If she had, like many people do when I visit shut-ins, continued to do their other work but listen to the word of God so that her other work wasn't distracting her from listening, but she was so anxious that Jesus wasn't seeing the obvious, that Mary was getting away with doing nothing, that she criticized Jesus. So this is really important. I know some people listen to KFUO while they are doing the dishes or other things. I have a personality that I cannot look at television without doing something else. I either have to be, say, reading the newspaper or reading a book or preparing a sermon or eating or doing something else. I just can't sit there and look at TV. Just because sometimes I'll find that I missed three quarters of the program because I fell asleep. So I'm always doing something else. Even when I'm driving, I can't stand just driving. I have to have a CD on where I'm listening to music or listening to a good lecture or trying to learn Spanish or having the radio on. Today I'm going to be going around a 300-mile trip to congregations, and I'll be listening to Issues, etc., until I lose them because I get too far from St. Louis, or this kind of thing. It's rare that I just drive. And when I'm doing that, I'm always thinking, well, what can I put in this sermon, etc.? And I often will have a sheet of paper beside me where I can write down some items. Now, is God going to say, Tom, just concentrate on doing the sermon and forget about driving? You're anxious about too many things. No. You have the freedom. I know a lot of congregations now, for Thanksgiving Day, they have the worship service on Wednesday night instead of on Thursday. We did that. And why was that? Because a lot of people have folks up for Thanksgiving, and it takes some time to prepare the meal, etc. And so a lot of the women were staying home to prepare for their family coming. I don't have a problem with that. But to help them, we would move the service to Wednesday night when there wasn't that much preparing going on. And so they were free Thursday morning to get up whenever they wanted to prepare the turkey or whatever they eat for Thanksgiving. Pastors need to be very careful that when we accuse somebody of a sin, we better see the idolatry behind their action. So it's not wrong to go golfing on a Sunday morning, unless you have an idolatrous view that, well, I can worship God as easy on the golf course as I can in a worship service. No, no, you can't. The golf course doesn't have the word and sacrament that's available. So motivation is everything. And as I said, if Martha had simply been listening to the word of Jesus and maybe even asking a question here or there while she was serving, getting the supper ready, there would have been no problem. The problem came when she attacked God. Don't you care that my sister has left me? God always cares. And so this was a lack of unbelief. That's how you read a portion of scripture from a law and gospel point of view. What is the law? What is the person being accused of that I also can be accused of? And what is the desire of God? The desire of God isn't necessarily that we sit at the feet. For example, when we had a babysitting at our church, the babysitters weren't able to be in attendance at the worship service. So we had the worship service broadcast into the room they were in, so at least they could hear the word of God. There's all kinds of things, and I would never say to somebody, how dare you do babysitting at church rather than being a worship service. If idolatry is not involved, then what you are doing is not a sin. Take some time now to discuss this. Maybe you've got other examples, and you want to discuss, well, would this be appropriate or inappropriate? The Mary and Martha thing, from a law gospel point of view, is very simple. Martha is criticized because of her idolatry, not because she wasn't just listening, because she could have listened while she was serving. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow is Thursday with Wes Reimnitz. We'll have a topic for you. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.